maybe I could say a lot of nice things about being at this meeting, but really what I want to say is, Lord, thank you for letting me be a part of this hour, this time, and this occasion. That's my thanks to you. This time is very precious, and I don't want to waste it or spend it frivolously. Now, I've still been feasting on the things I heard last night about the gospel. Appreciated it so much. I needed that. As I awoke this morning, I had two sermons on my mind, and I've chosen one, and I hope to not take too long to set it before you. When I was a child growing up in this area, if someone come to our house and said, we've had some trouble in our life and in our family, we would appreciate it if you would pray to God for us. There wasn't any doubt in any of our minds as to what God they wanted us to pray to. The time has come now when men of great power and authority will say, pray to your God. I've noticed in this culture that if people are questioned about their spirituality or what they believe about God, they will explain to you a God that's nowhere close to the Bible in many cases. It's a God of their imagination, and they haven't imagined themselves a God that they serve. Now, that's very convenient. God loves me, and I love God, and if I sin, it's all right, because He wants me to be happy, and if I'm happy in my sin, then it's all right with God. Now, that's the kind of God some people serve today. That's not the God that we serve. Now, I want to talk, if I can, for a few minutes, I want to set a parallel before you about two cultures that's found in the Scriptures. There's a lot more, but in way of introduction, I'm going to look at Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 17 in a minute. But I want to go back again. I remember, and I hope I'm not trying to be offensive to anybody, but I remember the first time I was in San Francisco, California, I saw a hippie, and my mouth fell open. I just couldn't believe that. You know, I was, old Peter come off the fishing boat, and 3 years later he was preaching. I come out of the cotton patch, and wasn't too long till I was seeing a lot of things I'd never seen before. Those people began to shift the culture in the 60s and 70s. They began to shift the morals of this nation in the 60s and 70s. Marijuana began to be then, not long after that, began to be legalized. I've seen that. You young people hadn't seen all that. A cultural change. There was a cultural shift for about 20, 30 years, and then that we saw a cultural change. Back in the 60s and 70s, there were people that talked about abortion and very quietly maybe did abortions occasionally. The culture began to shift. Not long ago, the laws were changed to legalize abortion, and it was a cultural reversal, a moral reversal. Now, gay marriage has been legalized. It used to be kept very quietly. Now it's been legalized again. We're in the middle of a cultural reversal, a moral reversal in this nation. So now what are we going to do about that? I've got to understand where I am to understand my problem, if you will, to understand how I might begin to work toward solving that problem. If we refuse to accept the problem, then we cannot find the solution. The Jews in Jesus' day refused the witness of Jesus Christ. I hear people get on TV today and they'll give a witness to a murder. And I don't a bit more believe it than anything because I don't think it's true. And many people will hear the witness of Jesus Christ and refuse to believe it. It's important that we believe the witness of Jesus Christ in this book. This is our salvation. This is the way out of this mess that our lives may get into or may have been into or might be into now or might be into in the future. How do we manage this? So when I was a kid and people says, God, we know who they're talking about. Now you don't know who they're talking about if they say God. So, hear, O Israel, Deuteronomy 1 and 6, maybe. No, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. We don't serve a bunch of gods. We serve one Lord. Now, it's important that we understand something about Him. You start talking about, I don't have an outline today. I didn't know I was going to be up here. I like to use an outline, and so if I get a little scattered, just pray for me and try to follow me. Long time ago, the Jews were given the oracles of God. You know, Romans 3 says, what advantage has the Jew? Well, the Jew had a lot of advantage. They had the oracles of God. They had the laws. They had God spoke to the prophets and spoke to Israel. And Moses wrote 5 books early on. And they had all of that. So what advantage hath the Jew? But they would get to doing real well, you know. There in that Deuteronomy text, he says, you're about ready to go into the land of Canaan. Go in and possess the land. I'm paraphrasing this for a time. The houses are built. The wells are digged. The crops are ready to harvest. Eat until your bellies are full. Didn't stop there. But don't forget to worship. What happened to Israel? What happens to us today? Things get going pretty good. The kids are healthy. I got a good job. Everything is on the even plane. What happens? Forget to worship. So did Israel. God sent them over into Babylon. He sent them into different places because of their disobedience and how He delivered them out with a high hand many times, and they'd turn to God again and repent, and God would bless Israel with amazing power and strength, and their enemies were afraid to even contradict Israel. They come on over to Jesus coming into this world. They said, I don't think He's who He says He is. Those Pharisees during the Babylonian captivity, I believe, is about where the Pharisee sect began. And they began, they didn't have their worship service, you know. They didn't have their all of this stuff to take over there with them. So they'd sit down and reason together. So they wrote down about 630-something laws that man is supposed to keep. They reasoned it all out. They figured it out. Because they didn't have God with them. And I tell you, between Malachi and Matthew, there was 400 years of silence. Oh, God, help us. Don't quit talking. Don't quit sending us preachers. Don't let all of our churches die where the gospel is not preached. Oh, God. Persecutions came upon Israel because of their a persecution of Christ and different things, and they were driven out into all parts of the earth, into every nation and all of several nations around about them, and they even learned other languages and they married other people, but they wanted to come back to Jerusalem once a year to worship. Oh, there was something there, wasn't it? There was a place where they knew the presence of God one day. And every year they wanted to migrate back to that place where God was. I was troubled one time, and a good Southern Baptist preacher friend of mine said, Danny, if God is not where you are, Find out where he is and go there. Somebody says, I drive 2 hours to church. Drive it if that's where God is. It's where God is. Drive it. It's where the gospel is given. Drive it. They've gone out into all the world and they come back on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And here's a culture that has drifted plumb out of whack. They've made their own laws. They've made their own rules. They've refused Jesus Christ and been driven to all nations around about them, and their language was even different. And he kept telling them, when the Holy Spirit comes, there's going to be a cultural shift. There's going to be a moral shift, and there's going to be a cultural shift when the Holy Spirit comes. And I think that's what Brother Dickey was talking to us about tonight. I tell you what, man, when the Spirit of God speaks in your soul, things change. I'm telling you, I don't believe the hollow log doctrine. When God speaks, things change. And I tell you something else, you like the change. All right. He says on the day of Pentecost, let me see if I can find Acts chapter 2 here. And the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all one accord in one place, and they set suddenly upon them a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them clothed in tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Wow. Have you ever been to a place like that? I tell you what, I remember the first time I heard an old preacher speak my language. Speak to my heart. Language that I didn't understand. I thought I knew my heart. And I heard old Elder Coy Wallace many years ago say, "My love, my dove, my fair one, come away." I took it personally. Spoke to my soul, and things changed in my life, morally, culturally, and spiritually. Now they had cloven tongues. Oh, that scripture has been all out of whack, hasn't it? But nevertheless, here was tongues, apostles speaking language they had never studied. Here's apostles speaking to people that was hard and indifferent. Here's apostles speaking to people that didn't believe. Many cases. And the Holy Spirit came. Oh, what a difference it made. And there dwelt in Jerusalem devout men out of every nation under heaven. Well, I ain't got time to go into this to a great degree. They were all amazed, and some doubted, saying to one another, "What means this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." You ever seen people make fun of somebody that's just in deep love with Jesus Christ? You ever seen anybody that thought they were crazy because somebody loved Jesus so much? I talked to a man one time, 29 years old, dying with cancer, and I was trying to help him along. And he said, "Do you think it would be awful if I took my life, if I wanted to die?" That's what he didn't say, "take my life." "Well, you think that would be awful if I wanted to die?" And I said, "No, brother, not at all. I understand it." He said, "Well, I just love to go and be with the Lord." He did, and about a year after that. But Peter stands up and he's lifted up his voice and he says, "These people are not drunk." They're not drunk. But this very thing that was prophesied of Joel has come to pass, and the Holy Spirit has come, and people are excited about Jesus Christ. It goes on and Peter preaches to them. I want to skip through it. You know the story. It's a common story, but I want to show you the results. You're talking about the culture we live in today. And now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, that you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." I want to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost too, don't you? Oh, I want to know the preciousness of His presence. I want to know the power. Paul said, I Oh, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. And many other words they testified and said. Well, the outcome of that was that 3,000 were added. 3,000 souls were added in that culture. See that culture change? See what happened in that culture change? Look at us today. Now, let's go over to Acts in chapter 17. What it's going to take to change this culture. Acts chapter 17, Paul goes to Thessalonica, and they basically run him out. They just upset with him. Those Jews, they're all tore up. They believe not, moved with envy. And he said they took Paul out by night and had to just escape the city. And so he goes on. They take him to Athens. Oh, Athens. I always think about this scripture when I see those statues of them dudes sitting around thinking, you know. They're going to figure it out, right? They figured it out. Well, they said in their figuring, they figured out that they needed a God for rain and a God for fertility and a God, all sorts of gods. They needed a God for everything. And every problem they had, they'd go dig up that God or set that God up that day and they'd pray to that God. Well, old Paul, he got all tore up about that. And he went to Mars Hill and he stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Men and brethren of Athens, I perceive that in all these things, you're too superstitious." I'm just amazed how he approached these folks. Now, they was worshiping idolatry, but he said, "I see that you are religious. You're full of religious fantasies." I think is what that superstitious means. You're full of religious fantasy. Is that the way it is today? I see people today, they're full of religious fantasy. Oh, God is this way. God is that way. Oh, God wouldn't judge. God wouldn't do this. God wouldn't do that. But most people today only know one attribute of God. One attribute. And their churches have only taught them one attribute. God is love. That's all they know. There's more attributes to God. He said, so he didn't just attack them. And he said, "Oh, you bunch of worshipers, but he had been teaching them in the synagogues about Jesus Christ, and they just absolutely refused to hear that. They said, they mocked him, and they said, "Oh, we'll hear thee another time." But the others said, "I believe he's setting forth some strange gods. We've never heard of anything like this." And others said, "Well, we'll hear you again on these matters." And he then began to preach. Look, verse 23 of Acts 17. As I passed by and beheld your devotion, I found an altar with this inscription: "To the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." Paul lays the foundation of the true and living God, who they had ignored and ignorantly worshipped in all sorts of forms. But then look what he does. He goes to the very God of creation. Verse 24, "God that made the world and all things therein." There you go. There's the God we serve. Where's the best place to go to understand this God we serve? Oh, you look at those stars. He says there, Psalms 19 said, "Their line is gone out into all the earth." That line is a measuring tool. My friend, ships referenced off of the stars for years and years and years. All of our famous GPS systems is referenced off of God's creation and the orbits that He set forth. Our calendars are written off of God's creation. And they say, "Oh, we don't believe there's a God." You're ignorantly worshiping, aren't they? Well, anyway, the end result of Paul's sermon over there in verse 32. "And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, 'We will hear thee again of this matter.' So Paul departed. Howbeit, some men clave unto him and believed." It wasn't hardly 3,000. So, I'm not sure that we're not in this Acts 17 culture now. There's a culture over there where God's people had slipped way off into unbelief and ungodliness, and God brought them back with the power of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. That could go on and on. May God bless you. I hope I've said something that'll make you want to study these two chapters.
Thank you for listening to this message. Our prayer is that you've been blessed by the messages and the daily devotional blog on sermon audio from Ripley Primitive Baptist Church. We would love the opportunity to be of greater service to you and your walk with Christ. In other words, we would like to get to know you better. Do you have need of counsel, of a home church, or can we just pray for you? Please feel free to contact us by phone at 662-837-8590 or visit our website at www.ripleypbc.com.